Hello, everyone. This is the Football Full Disclosure. This is game week 7. Okay, let me just clear something up, okay? Yeah, it's me, Dean, talking. Marty, hi.
Hi.
Okay, we're not dodging you because Liverpool are losing. Let's make that absolutely clear, okay? We've been on holiday, haven't we?
We have been on holiday.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. And some technical issues last week, right? All good?
Yeah, no, it's fine now. Yeah. I had a computer problem.
Sounds like we're making excuses.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was actually a computer problem.
There we go. You've heard it. It was a computer issue. That's why we've not talked or spoken about Liverpool now that the wheels are coming off. But
we will talk about them today.
But we're going to start with Wolves and Brighton. We're going to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we can come to that later, can't we?
Let's leave.
Put it off as long as we can.
Let's leave that to the end. Wolves, point, finally.
Yay.
How are they feeling?
Yeah, they'll be feeling all right, I guess. Well, no, I think they'll still be, worried, I think.
Oh,
I think
they should be worried.
All Wolves supporters have to be worried, don't they?
They should be worried.
Yeah, great. They've got, what, I think 2 points now, haven't they?
I think
so. Two draws.
So,
and
two
all
points.
The rest, all the rest of losses.
Mm-hmm.
So they are moving in the right direction, but they need to turn those draws into wins, don't they?
It was a goal not even scored by them. It was an own goal, which is...
Oh, you're taking where you can get them, though.
You're taking where you can. And Brighton, I think Brighton are just kind of plodding through the season. I mean, it's early, what, 7 games in, but it feels like... They're going to have, I don't want to call it a mediocre season, but I don't see them finishing anywhere higher than 8th, 9th.
Yeah, they'll be mid-table.
They'll be mid-table. But yeah, Wolves, but we agree, Wolves are almost definitely, probably. Not almost definitely.
Almost definitely, probably, maybe.
Maybe.
But who knows?
Who knows?
no, I do think they're going to go down, yeah. I'll go over what I said last time. Mm. I just think that the good players they had, they
gone.
Lost.
Yeah.
And I just don't think... Cooney is a difficult player to replace, obviously.
You can't.
So
not a guy like that.
You know, any chance of somebody stepping up and saving them, unless they bring somebody in or, you know, out of the blue, one of their players is like, right, okay, I'm going to go superstar, I can't see it happening.
No. Anyway, let's move on to the G-Tech Arena. You know where that is?
Yeah.
And test your knowledge on locations. G-Tech Arena is?
In London, Brentford.
Brentford, there we go. They hosted Man City.
They did.
Okay, first thing I want to throw out is obviously Man City won the game. It was a very early goal from Mr. Haaland. Mm. It's him again.
Yeah, he seems to be getting back to goal scoring.
18 goals already, club and country. That's nuts.
Yeah, he's getting back to his best again. I mean, I liked it when he wasn't doing so well for two reasons. One, because everybody has him in fantasy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's not doing well...
I know, everyone's fantasy kind of tanks a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I usually don't have him in, but
Oh, bucket! Oh, okay. Going
well, I know. I tried to mix it up a bit. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's obviously not good for that. But also because it means City are winning games again.
They are. But listen, I've got here expected. Both teams had an XG. I know people don't like the XG, but the XG is a very good measure of actually are they making chances. And both teams had an XG less than 1, 0.83. That was not a game full of chances, was it?
No, but at the end of the day, for City, they just want to get back to winning games again because they've been really patchy. They need a consistent run of results, and
indeed.
For them, they're not going to care. No, they're not back to the Man City we knew from a few seasons ago when they were absolutely ruining teams left, right and centre.
No.
But... if they're getting wins, then that puts them instead. You know, anything can happen second half of the season. They switch
indeed.
On and boom, they're, you know.
Yep, exactly.
And they don't lose a game, you
yep.
know, for however many months. So, yeah, it's if they're picking up points like this, that's good for them. They'll be happy with that.
Mm.
And if they do click, then we know what they can do.
Well, let's hope not. And in terms of win, it was Pep, 250th win. I think managed to get to that mark in fewest games, right? He said he would host Wenger... and Moyes and Ferguson, host them for a dinner.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that seems quite nice.
Mm.
You know, yeah. And, but, obviously, to sour that win, Rodri looked like he came off. He came off looking quite unhappy, an injury. So, oof. What
yeah,
does that
it,
say?
It didn't. Well, it didn't help them last time when he got injured.
No,
did it?
Kind of
fell apart.
Yeah,
didn't it?
Fell apart.
So I mean, we can but only hope. But we'll see.
Let's not hope that. Let's
not hope for his injury. And I don't wish him injured or
no.
You know, that he's,
of
but ultimately,
not.
If he is, then you know, obviously, I hope the wheels fall off.
Okay. All right, let's move off to move over to Villa Park, Aston Villa. Back to winning ways.
Yeah, they got a win. Good.
They got a win. Second win, I think. I think they were chasing. Desperately needed a win because they started that season sluggishly.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-1 win. Two goals from Daniel Malen. Yeah, Dutch guy. They bought him end of last season. Came in on loan. And I think they kind of more or less solidified the move. And yeah, it's a good win for them, isn't it?
Well, you would hope you'd beat Burnley, wouldn't you? Out of the three teams that have come up, I think Burnley will be the ones that struggle the most.
Yeah.
At home, yeah, I think if you're Villa, you've got to be picking up points there. If they drop points there as well,
would you be worried?
Well, I mean, people will be asking questions, won't they? It doesn't take very long in football for people to
it
start
doesn't,
going.
No.
You know what? You know, if you're not picking up those kind of points,
is
then,
he good enough?
Yeah,
is
exactly.
he good enough? Which is funny because actually, let's jump into it because in terms of picking up points, Ange.
Yeah, well, this is the problem, isn't it? I think Forrest made a massive, massive mistake getting rid of Nuno. Like it was just
Spirito Santo.
Yeah, and like I say, it's happened to him a number of times.
Mm.
But that kind of mistake of getting rid of someone who is getting you results.
A good manager
who is getting you results, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you ship him out for whatever reasons. Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good
for Forrest because
no. I mean, it's shocking in the sense that he actually hasn't won. I mean, I think he's won maybe, a League Cup game, possibly. But other than that, in terms of the Premier League, nothing.
Yeah, it's
nothing
not looking
so
good
far.
For
it's not,
all,
it's not looking very good.
And the thing is, there's already talk about him being shipped out, and he's only just come in. I mean,
he's already under pressure.
Yeah, I think it doesn't take long. This is the point.
It doesn't take long.
If you come in, Forrest now, I mean, Forrest have a history, but Forrest now, I think, within the Premier League, you know, they think we deserve to be here. We should be here. We're a team that needs to be getting results.
They're playing European football as well.
Again, they're playing European football. So being down in the bottom half of the table is not acceptable, I think, for Forrest anymore. And when they bring in a manager like Ange, who, in fairness, didn't have a great time at Spurs, but has a pretty decent reputation, they're expecting him to do good things. But, you know, but that's why a lot of managers get the job. Is, here's my idea, but also you've got the reputation to go along with it.
Pep is not reputation. Pep, it's records, statistics. Ange, in terms of statistics, let's look at what he finished, sixth or seventh place in his first season with Spurs. Finished 17th in the second season. Reputation, that's...
I mean, he gets a trophy as well. But I mean, ultimately...
he wins something in his second season, right?
Again, maybe it was what you said. Maybe it's the Greek thing going on there. Who knows?
It's a Greek thing. It's all about the Greeks.
It could end up being a very, very bad decision for Forrest. I mean, I think it's a bad decision to get rid of Nuno anyway. That was just stupid. And they're not the first team for this to happen to.
No.
Like, Nuno's been sacked and then they end up, you know, their trajectory is just going one way and it's not up. It's the other way.
That's down for anyone
who doesn't know the opposite. So that's kind of looks like how it's going at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, I made a joke last time and I'm going to make it again. He wins something in his second season. And for me, it's going to be the championship. So let's see. Nick Watamade, he's started quite well, hasn't he?
He's had a pretty good start to the season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's on penalties. For anyone who is a fantasy football fanatic.
I've got him in already.
There we go. He's on pens. Mm. So there we go. Just keep an eye on that one. the Bayern Munich hierarchy literally said Newcastle are idiots for buying him. That's harsh.
That is harsh, isn't it?
That's harsh. Saying he was too expensive, they've overspent on him and everything else. But look at him now. 3 games, 3 goals, equaling Shearer and Les Ferdinand's record. That seems like a pretty simple record to have broken. 3 games and 3 goals. Is it really that hard to score 3 goals in 3 games?
I don't know. I've never played in the Premier League.
That's a good one. That is a good one. But it's harsh, no? For a guy, I know, obviously, unproven in the Premier League, but he's started very well. And I don't think other clubs should be making statements like that.
No, I don't think it's very respectful. I don't think they should be doing that. But it's up to him. You know, if it's me, use that and prove him wrong. If he carries on doing what he's doing, he's going to have a good goal tally by the end of the season,
Absolutely.
Isn't he? Absolutely. And that's what Newcastle need, right? They lost their star striker.
They did.
They needed to bring somebody in who was going to have an immediate impact. He seems to be doing that, so.
Mm. There we go. Okay, let's move over to Everton. What's the Everton Stadium called? It's the Hill Dixon Hill. I was about to say who cares, but a lot of people care. This isn't because we like don't like Everton. We don't mind Everton. I think it's just we prefer to see Everton losing games just because of the rivalry. But they did well. They beat the only other unbeaten side.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, that's a good win.
A really good win
that's
for Everton.
That's a good win
yeah.
because Crystal Palace, pardon me, are not a joke. They are well-organised. For me, right now, probably the best side in the Premier League. Go as far as to say that.
What, Palace?
Yeah.
Well, definitely one of the most organised teams in the Premier League. Good manager. He seems to be doing a very good job, Glasner.
Mm.
Yeah, he's turned Palace into quite a formidable opponent.
A unit.
I mean, we know. We will get to that later.
He plays three at the back.
Yeah. Well,
it goes to show it works. It can work.
It can work.
It can work. So whatever Amorim is talking about or whatever, I think actually three at the back can work if you're a good manager.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got the tactics right, then fair enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to have the right players to fit that system.
Indeed.
I think, again, this is the problem. This was the problem with Manchester United is it's he doesn't, or I don't think he does, have the players that will fit the system.
Mm.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes on because we haven't got to that game yet.
Yeah, square spaces and round holes and everything else, right?
Mm.
Yeah, but it was an interesting game. I think Palace, honestly, should have been well ahead in the first half, but credit to Everton. They kept coming and kept coming. And you know, they scored a late goal for Grealish. He's having a good season.
He's doing pretty well, isn't he? It's a good sign for Everton.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
It's a loan sign, of course, but
yeah.
I'm sure they'll be looking into keeping that permanent, making that permanent somehow.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, if he continues with the season that he's having, then I can't see why they wouldn't want to keep him on. And if he's enjoying his football, getting regular football, which he wasn't doing at City, obviously, then why not?
He's kind of unleashed, isn't he?
Mm.
Okay, let's head over to the Vitality Stadium. That is Bournemouth. Semenyo. We've got to talk about Semenyo.
He's on a mission, isn't he, this season?
They're throwing out world class. I want to have a chat about that, actually. What does that mean? World class? How do you define yourself? Why are they throwing that word out specifically, you know, for Semenyo? Like, is he world class because of the things he's doing in the Premier League? Can he be classed as a world class player right now, or is he just having a decent season?
He's been decent for a few seasons, though.
He came from non-league. It's actually something I quite like about players like that. He's come from the bottom and now he's up. And, you know, he's proven that actually you can find very, very quality players in the lower leagues if you look hard enough.
Well, Vardy's a good example of that as well.
Oh, yes, classical example.
But he had a great goal-scoring record, did very, very well in his career in the top flight, but he came from the lower leagues. So,
And he was a bit older as well. Semenyo was 25 and, you know, he's still quite young. He's got quite a few years ahead of him, doesn't he?
Mm.
I think they blew Fulham away.
I mean, look, he's having an incredible season. He has been good for a few seasons, but he seems to have taken it up a notch so far this season, hasn't he? He looks really, really, really good. Who is he registered to play for in terms of nationality?
Ghana. Yeah.
That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. But hey.
Hey, there we go. Let's wish him good things for the season ahead, right?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Get me your fantasy team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you kind of have to have him in your fantasy team, don't you?
I think so. Let's head over to Ellen Road, Leeds hosted Spurs. It's a good win for them, wasn't it, Spurs? It's a 2-1 win away. That could have been a tricky game for them at Leeds. I think they're not the same Leeds as the Leeds that was up a few seasons ago that went down, obviously. But they seem a little bit more organised. And actually, in terms of teams going down, I don't see Leeds being one of those teams. But Spurs, obviously under Thomas Frank.
Having a very good season.
A very, very good season.
They started very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're currently sitting in third or fourth, I think, 14 points.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're kind of right up there.
It's quite tight. There's a points tally at the top of the Premier League this season already. 7 games in.
Yeah, so far, you know, like, I mean, I didn't want it to be quite this
tight.
Quite this tight. It was nice after 5 games. You're looking at it and thinking, okay, this is, well, we were saying exactly this is looking very good.
Yeah.
5 wins out of 5.
I know. We'll get onto that later.
I won't get too much into it now. But I mean, yeah, they're sitting in third and they're on 14. So, I mean, it's going pretty well for them so far. But again, we both like Thomas Frank, quality manager. Mm. I'm not surprised. I mean, I would expect them to be competing this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think with guys like Kudus, Matthijs Tel, he's another one. He's had a bit of a stop-start season or stop-start career. He's still young. He's a French guy, French player. Played for Bayern Munich, and I think, I'm not sure if actually Spurs have paid the whole money for him or if he's on loan, but yeah, it's good to see players like that kind of, you know, become unshackled and go off and actually make a career for themselves as opposed to sitting on a bench in Bayern Munich.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're kind of going to win everything, aren't they? So yeah, let's head over to United. They've won a game, but it's a bit patchy for them, isn't it? Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
There we go. But this could have been a very tricky game because, you know, this is against the Sunderland, a very, very well-organized Sunderland side. And in terms of records, this is the best start for a promoted side in 13 years.
Yeah, Sunderland looked really good. And could I agree, be, yeah. It could have been a tricky game for United, but they seem to be inconsistent, yes, but at least they're getting some results and some points now.
That's the best they can wish for, I think, at this point. I think. And it was Mason Mount's third goal for United. Third goal. I feel like he's been playing for United for at least three seasons now. And third goal, but he's had an up and down start to his career in terms of injuries and everything else like that. And Sesko also, you know, chipped in with a goal. If you saw it, it came from just a simple throw-in. The days of throw-ins are back.
Yeah, I believe that as well. You see a lot of long throws now, don't you? I mean, it's pretty much every game I watch any highlights on. They've got somebody. There's probably set piece coaches teaching it. There's somebody they're specifically for. Right, who's got a long throw? Right, you're taking them from there. Get it into the box. It's becoming very much a commonplace thing now.
It's a weapon, isn't it? It's a very good, stoke of the past. Obviously, utilize that quite well. But actually, you're seeing just about every team use or utilize a long throw. Even Arsenal, obviously, Arsenal the set piece kings, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's head over to, it's Arsenal. I'm so sorry. It sounded like I kind of deflated a little bit. They're top of the league.
Yes, they are.
They're top of the league. I will give you that, Arsenal. But honestly, they had to make a statement. You know, Liverpool had lost two games in a row, something that hasn't happened in a while. I think this is only the second time in slots, but we'll get into Liverpool later. But Arsenal had to make a statement. And they took advantage. And now they're top of the league. Can they sustain this?
I don't know.
Or is there something that's going to go back and forth? Do you think the top of the league is going to change hands a lot more? Or can the Arsenal kind of just sit here, solidify it, and take advantage of Liverpool's little bit wee, little blip. Bit wah, blip? Let's hope it's a blip.
Yeah, let's hope it's just a blip. I think if Liverpool can find their form and gel the new players in, I think some changes need to be made. But if they do that and start get a bit of momentum, then I think ultimately Arsenal will struggle. But we'll see. We'll see if Arsenal can keep the consistency because this has been a problem for them. We know this. Arsenal couldn't come up with some great results and have a good run. No. But it's can they maintain it over the course of the whole season?
A big thing about Arsenal supporters was they would always complain. Yeah, I'm going to use that word. They would often complain about the fact that, bench isn't strong enough. But Odegaard got injured and they replaced him with a world-class Zubimendi who came on to actually influence those two goals that they scored. So they've got a much, much, much stronger bench this time. So I think Arsenal, this is their season, surely.
Again, I don't know. I think Zubimendi was a quality signing.
Excellent signing.
They do have more depth now. That will be helpful to them. Let's see. Again, it's about consistency. It's as much mentality as it is, have you got enough cover for all positions or quality cover for all positions in case you pick up injuries, which of course you're going to do over the course of the season because every team picks up injuries over the course of the season. But I think Liverpool are in a worse place than Arsenal are in terms of depth in certain positions.
In certain positions. That's a good point. But remember, I think the omens in terms of Arsenal being top, I think for a while, a couple of seasons ago, they sat top for a majority of the season, only from City, the last, 10 games to pip them to the Premier League title. So
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
You want, as a neutral, you want a good title race. Yeah. And even to be honest, it is a bit boring when you're kind of like so far ahead that it's kind of like, oh, the season's over already. I mean, it's nice to know you can take the pressure off. But like Liverpool last season, as soon as we won the league, we just weren't turning up for games. So if you go in there as a fan, you want to see your team win games regardless whether you won the league or not. Mm. And they just kind of given up. So we ended up just losing and drawing games and just seeing the season out, right? Which is not ideal. So you kind of, if you've got a good title race on, it's exciting. And if you do finally win it, I think it means a bit more because it was a bit tougher you got there. And we've seen some tough title races as
well.
When you're getting over 100 points and you don't win, it's just like, come on.
It's a bit.
Have a day off.
It's a bit annoying.
Have a day off, City,
yeah.
Will you? Or have a year off.
Two.
Yeah, exactly. and thankfully, they kind of have a bit now as well. So they're not quite as ruthless as they were. Are Arsenal going to have that season? Is it going to be a title season for them where maybe they go on and win it, or maybe, like you said, maybe they lose it with 10 games to go? If the pressure is on them by somebody, be it us or somebody else, then it could be anybody's, couldn't it?
Could be anyone's.
But we'll wait and see. Again, it's still early days. It's 7 games in.
Oh, it's so, 7 games, but it feels this... Well, let's just head over to Stamford Bridge, right, where Chelsea hosted Liverpool, and this was... our third loss, and it was
third loss, right?
Champions League.
Yeah, Champions League loss. Okay.
No. But it's a trend. It's a trend. It's the same issues, I think. So you can't. I don't think we should not look at that Champions League loss and add it in. There is our third loss in a row. Unfortunately, it's not as if it was, you know, a win in between. It's a third loss. For me, it's the late goals. You know, the things we used to inflict on other teams. It's the second late goal.
For the first 5 games, you know, we've been winning late. And to be honest, we hadn't been playing very well.
No.
We were
what champions
lucky,
do,
but that is what champions do, exactly. So I do think when we actually find our groove and our rhythm, we're going to be a very dangerous team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there needs to be changes because the Palace game...
We deserve to lose that.
We deserve to lose it. We were outplayed. They were far better than us. We've been so sloppy on the ball, giving the ball away just really cheaply, far too much in the Palace game and also in the Chelsea game as well. I mean, it was just like... some of it and you're thinking, this is shocking. I mean, this is schoolboy stuff. A lot of it is just find a teammate. That's all you've got to do. Keep the pass simple and find a teammate. You do this on the playground, right? And there's professional footballers who can't seem to string 2 or 3 passes together. It was upsetting to watch.
Chelsea had no recognised centre-back in parts of that game.
They've had so many injuries.
And yet, for some reason, we couldn't take advantage of that. That was worrying for me. You know, I thought, you know, watching the Chelsea game, when, you know, we came back into it, you know, to score a goal, Cody Gakpo was a good goal. It was a brilliant assist by Alexander Isak. But... you know, I felt like actually we can, you know, maybe we can go in and actually win this game. But it was just, I don't know, it was just, something's just not clicking into place. And we've said this before, there's an awful lot of players signed. Obviously, we see that. But something's just not clicking in place. And, you know, they seem a bit disjointed, whether it's at the back, whether it's midfield, which obviously filters all the way to the front. And Salah.
Yeah, look, I think tactically we're doing a few things wrong. We'll get to Salah, but I want to talk about Gravenberch because he needs to be playing that defensive role that he was playing before.
Mm.
This new role that he's got is great, right? I'm sure he loves it because he gets to get forward a bit more and get involved in, you know, kind of a bit further up the pitch. But he was so good at breaking up play as a defensive midfielder.
Mm.
And we need that kind of stability at the back. We need somebody to support the back four because... we do like to get our fullbacks to fly forward.
We do.
Yeah. We need cover. And if he's playing a more advanced role, I don't like McAllister sitting deeper. Okay. I don't think it suits his game. I think he is the player that you want to have a bit further right. He's got he can smash the ball. If the ball falls to him on the edge of the box and he smashes it, you might get your goal from that. Okay.
Mm.
I know Gravenberch can hit him as well, but I just think that Gravenberch is better on the defensive aspect of the game.
Okay.
He picks up the ball on the half turn. He's moving forward. He's playing the ball out wide. You know, that it's quick. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
And we're off. We're on that attack again. We just don't seem to be doing that. Like, well, there's too much side passes, back passes, or just passing it to the opposition. And we look shocking. You're right. The new players, they're trying to bed a load of new players in all at once, and it's not really working. Kirkes does not look great at all, to be honest. I think maybe Robertson, I know he maybe was at fault for a goal in that game.
Had his hand on his hips at one point, looking like he was either tired. And the things
he hasn't had a lot of game time, has
no,
he?
No, he hasn't. But the things we used to blame Trent Alexander for not, you know, paying attention to the players around him. It's schoolboy error.
Absolutely. It is. But at the same time, I think Kirkus has been struggling. I think because Robertson knows the other defenders and is, you know, they're a bit more used to each other, I think having him in and then bringing Kirkes in would be a better way of doing it. I would think it's better to bed players in, bring them in gradually instead of just throwing them in, right, off you go.
Completely agree.
Because we've just completely lost all cohesion within the team. Yeah. And we just look all over the place.
I think Kirkes, based on what he was doing in Bournemouth, he seemed to be quite a focal attacking player for them. And he can't quite do it. I think there's a certain tactical awareness you need to have playing for bigger teams. No disrespect to your Bournemouth, obviously. And what Kirkes probably does need is that little bit of time to understand the system that he's playing in. Something that obviously Robertson is much better at. But I think Robertson, in terms of the age, I think it's, you know, maybe it's catching up with him. But
yeah, the age is obviously a problem, and that'll be the main. I mean, he's not that old. We always say the age is like 32 or 33.
He's played the Premier League in a lot for a long, many years.
But and you need the experience, and that's why in the bigger games he might be a better option. And
yes, good point. But when you've got an 18-year-old Brazilian, Estevao,
he looked good, didn't he?
He looked very good.
I mean, look, for me, you start Robertson, and then Kirkes maybe comes on later with a bit of fresh energy and gives you what you need to see through the game. I think we did it the wrong way around, but hey, it's neither here nor there. You know, I'm not picking the teams.
No.
But I think on the right-hand side, you've got Bradley, who has been hooked twice now at halftime.
Yes.
And some of the tactical changes I don't quite understand.
It feels like Bradley is taking the blame for something, and we have to talk about Salah. Because
I think that's the problem. I don't think it's Bradley.
I appreciate everything that Salah has done for us. I think at one point he missed a chance and he apologized. You read his lips and he said sorry. And I thought, you've got nothing to apologize for. The things you've done for this team, absolutely amazing. He's a legend in my opinion. But unfortunately, right now he's misfiring.
Yeah.
And it sounds controversial, but Salah needs to get maybe dropped. Maybe not against United, because he has a very good record against United. But the way it looks right now, maybe he does need to get dropped.
No, I think. Look, you don't play players for their names. No. We talked about this before. You play them on their form. And if they're out of form, then of course, look, we didn't bring Frimpong in to play as a right back.
I don't think so.
We didn't bring him in.
No.
We know we've got the Africa Cup of Nations this year. We know we needed somebody who could play wide right.
He was
brought in to replace Salah for the Africa Cup of Nations. And I think ultimately to take over from him, right? Because he's a similar player. He's very quick, acceleration, high impact, boom, off. Like Salah used to be.
Indeed.
He hasn't quite got the legs anymore for that explosive pace. But he was the kind of player that Salah was in terms of it, like how quickly he can move with the ball. Not afraid to take people on, cut inside, cross the ball. We can do all that, right? Great, fantastic. So I think, you give him a chance in the team.
Mm.
You pull Salah out for a little while, give him a chance. I think if they don't, we will certainly see an improvement during the Africa Cup of Nations. And again, as you say, maybe controversial, whatever. But I think if you're not playing well, take him out. It doesn't matter what their name is. I know he has been amazing for us. But in fairness, I would have sold Salah 2 or 3 years ago for 160 million.
I would have sold Salah. Sounds so controversial. It feels like we don't appreciate.
No, I appreciate everything.
No, we do, but
smart business.
Like, I think his time, possibly. I think what he did last season was just something that was never going to be matched. And you know, slot winning Premier League last season was just something maybe no one expected.
Yeah.
And you know, we thought it would take him time to get used to the Premier League and everything. And maybe that's what we're seeing right now. This season right now, with all of these new players, you know, it's the hangover of Klopp, from obviously Klopp leaving. But it kind of feels as if the team's just not clicking in place. But you can also see where they should actually make these adjustments to have them click in place, because we have the players. How do you get the best out of Wirtz?
Yeah, again, I think,
you know, for example,
I think that only works if you have Gravenberch playing a defensive role.
Yeah.
Because he's going to sit behind the striker in a 4-2-3-1, which is what Slot likes to play, right?
Mm.
So you've still got to have that defensive-minded player. And maybe you play Szoboszlai, who I think can play the box-to-box quite well, right?
He does,
to cover the pitch quite well, right? So, or you just have someone to float around that midfield area. Mm. You need to have balance, and I don't think we have balance.
Not
I mean,
right
he hasn't had the greatest start. He's not been, you know, at his best by any stretch of the imagination, although that first touch he had in that Chelsea game
could have been
incredible.
A great assist.
Yeah, could have Salah been an amazing assist.
Didn't put it away, unfortunately. He,
look, the physicality of the Premier League is tricky. Yeah. You come from the German league, it's not the same.
No.
So it's going to take him time to get used to it. Look, he's a player for the future. We've discussed
and
this
he
already.
He will absolutely
he'll
get
be
used
he'll
to
be
it.
A superstar yeah. for us. I don't doubt that at all. Once mm-hmm. he's kind of got himself in, but again, you can bring him in gradually, can't mm-hmm. you? I think mm-hmm. we are better when he's not playing at the moment.
Yes,
I think with the established three that we had from last season, I think. But I just think he's playing him in the wrong position. I think McAllister needs to sit further forward. Mm. I think Szoboszlai does the box to box running stuff. And
I think he's wasted
covers.
A right back, in my opinion, Szoboszlai.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's
I mean,
that
why drop
he's
him?
He's done well, but.
You know, he's done all right. But again, why drop him into that position? It's unnecessary. When you've got players who play at right back,
exactly.
play the players at right back, you bring in Gomez. Gomez has played right back loads. Mm. He could also cover in that position.
He's a bit more solid defensively. I know, obviously, Konate is someone that isn't having the best of season. I've always been a big fan of Konate's. I think he's just not having a very good season right now. But I think that's true for everyone. It's weird, right? We've won 5 games, but these 3 losses have felt like actually they're not really having amazing season. It feels a bit weird.
It's shown because we kind of did get a bit lucky those first five games. I mean, anybody could see it. Again, you have to do that. You have to win games when you're not playing well.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was not going to last forever, was it?
Well, I mean, we're not playing well and we're not winning games.
And we're not winning games. So, exactly. So you've got something needs to be addressed, doesn't it? If you're winning games and not playing well, okay, well, we're probably going to start playing well at some point in time and then, we're going to be dangerous.
I mean,
but
in fairness to Chelsea, Moise Caicedo, who we could have signed a few seasons ago, he had an amazing game. This guy was everywhere. I think, it's Konate plus a bit of Frank Lampard plus a bit of Steven Gerrard. I hate saying that, comparing people to Steven Gerrard, but the guy was everywhere. And he made it tough for us, despite the fact that they had no recognised centre-back. Moise Caicedo made it an even more difficult game, and credit to him.
Yeah, and he can smash one in as well, can't he?
He absolutely hit that, didn't he? He absolutely hit that. And no Alisson, obviously, let's remember that. We didn't have our actual recognised goalkeeper. But anyway, let's hope things will change. Things will change. Because I trust our management team, and I think it will change.
I do as well. My only concern is when you talk about someone like Salah, is his name too big to drop? And I think, like we were saying before, and I always thought Slot would be the kind of manager that would not be afraid to take a player out if he's not playing well.
Mm.
I mean, but how long does it go on for before he's like, I've got to make some changes here? I mean, he's going to be upset. Salah wants to play every game. He wants to play every minute of every game.
That's
and respect to him for that, right?
Yeah.
Respect to him, because of course you would want him, right?
Not at that age.
You know, well, no, maybe not, but he... Yeah,
bear in mind, he's only 34?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
He's younger
but
than
I mean,
us.
Like in his mind, he's you know he's
he
the
wants
king.
To play everything.
He's the king, isn't he?
He's the Egyptian king.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
The
I've been rinsing it for years. I deserve
absolutely.
To be playing every minute. But I mean, he'd have to understand himself. Like I've not been great. And if the manager says to him, "Look, we're going to rest you. We're going to try something else," then he's hopefully he would respect that. But I think that changes need to be made. Absolutely.
Indeed. Well, no better way of seeing whether those changes come into effect, because our next game is against United. A team that, not traditionally, but recently, and maybe in the last 5 to 6 years, we've had very, very good record against them. So if we want to see an improvement, it has to be against United.
How do we feel if the next time we talk, we've lost to United as well?
Then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Then genuinely, I think there's a problem. If we lose to United, there is categorically an issue and something is going on and they need fixing right now. But anyway, you wanted to make one last point. Go on.
I absolutely agree, because I think we're at home as well, right?
We're at home. Oh,
I think you've got to go out and
we're at home.
And given the way United have been, you've got to go out there and
make a statement
exactly. And we need that confidence, right? Like, as you say, it's 2 Premier League games, but 3 games on the bounce that we've lost.
It's not just that we need a win. It doesn't have to be a statement win in the sense that we smash him 5-0 or anything like that. But it needs to be. We need to look fluid. We need to look like a team that's playing together and win the game.
Yeah, I'd be happy. Yeah, I mean, I want to see performance. I want to see improvement, look, the basics done right.
That's right.
And an improvement all round. And yeah, it'd be nice to see some positive changes, but we'll see. If he lines up exactly the same team again, I mean, Slot will have questions to answer for if he just keeps putting out the same team. And
he's got a lot to answer for.
Well, yeah. I mean, Slot's been incredible.
And he has been.
I do like the fact he's usually very bold with his decisions. It's like he's not afraid to change things up.
Mm.
But, Is he going to change up the starting lineup? Is he going to get rid of big players for other players?
And
play the form and not the name.
There we go. All right, Marty. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Likewise.
And we'll see you next week. Hopefully a bit more positive.
Yay.
And if you waited this long, there you go. We haven't been dodging. We can speak about Liverpool when we lose. It just doesn't happen very often. Bye-bye, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.